Hello, and thank you for joining us for another episode of That Solo Life, the podcast all about going solo in your business. I am Michelle Kane. My company is Voice Matters, and I'm here with my fantastic co-host, Karen Swim of Words for Hire, and the founder of the group that pulls us all together, Solo PR Pro. How are you doing today, Karen?
I am well, Michelle. Good morning. Good morning. I'm super excited today.
I know. Should we tell them? Should we tell them?
We should tell them.
We have a guest. We have a guest again, everyone. So we're very excited because today our guest is Craig Severinsen, and you might know him from his work with Brightworks PR, but he currently is working on some fantastic things that are bound to help us all get more clients. Who doesn't want that? Right now, his primary focus is a 90-day business accelerator that will help you land more clients quickly and more clients, more money. Welcome, Craig. Thank you for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Excellent. Excellent. So should we jump right in, Karen? Should we ask him about this accelerator? Yeah, so tell us. We're very excited to hear about this 90-day business accelerator.
Yeah,
so Craig, I should say that you've been such a great friend to Solo PR Pro, our members, to our community, and we adore you, and you always have this great information to share. So I'm just really excited to have you here. So yeah, jump in and tell us about the 90-day business accelerator. That sounds exciting.
Yeah, awesome. And I love coming on Solo PR Pro. You know, I've worked with a lot of your members, and they're always just the coolest people, and they always get really great results. So it's fun to be here with you. I think like every business, I'll draw back the curtains here and kind of open and show you what's been going on in my world. Like every business, you know, I've been pivoting and looking at where's the best place for me to be profitable, best place for me to be, you know, the most impact on my clients. And about a year ago, I pivoted and just really zoned into what I do best. And that's helping people implement, you know, really get their pricing down, really implement a really simple marketing strategy, and then just close sales. So that's all I do now is a 90-day business accelerator. People are making between $30,000 and $100,000 just in those 3 months. And we're only using organic social media, Facebook and LinkedIn. So it's really, really cool.
Perfect.
That's fantastic. So
that is exciting.
Yeah. So what does that look like? You know, if someone says that sounds wonderful, what's in store for them?
Well, so, you know, there are a few keys to making the social media strategy work for you, but also just getting sales in general, right? Like, So the very first thing that you do when you come into the program is we have like a 2-hour one-on-one phone call, just me and the person. And we get together, there's really one main focus of that call, and that is to get very, very clear on what you're selling. One of the things that this is especially common in the PR space is we don't always connect our service to the ultimate result that we actually provide for people. You know, like we go around selling PR services, but not the entire world understands what that gets them, right? Like we get it because we've been doing it. But not everybody really gets that. And that's true with like not just our industry, but marketers in general. We're really bad at connecting. This is the services I provide and this is what you get out of it. So that very first phone call is we get really, really clear on what you're selling. We make sure that you've got a price that actually makes sense for your business model. Like actually, you know, my goal is that everyone comes in and they build a multiple six-figure business. It's not just, hey, maybe hopefully we reach $100,000, it's no, you can actually get up to like $1 million business using this model. And then once you have that clarity, it's just about getting in front of the right people and making sales, right? So you use social media, Facebook to build relationships, get in front of the right people, and just start making progress towards getting sales.
And so you said the 5-letter word that scares the pants off of some people to be, you know, fully transparent, which is sales. Now, I personally have a sales background. I manage salespeople, so it doesn't scare me. But a lot of I find that a lot of B2B consultants and people in PR really have not been formally trained in sales and are not really familiar that when you become your own business person, that really is kind of your primary job. So tell me a little bit about how you introduce that topic and some of the common challenges and, you know, myths that you might see around that whole process of selling.
Yeah. And I love this question because I think a lot of us come out and like, we're really good at whatever it is we do, right? Like we're really good at that marketing or that PR piece or that, you know, the outreach or whatever it is. And we think, oh man, if we just do that, clients are just going to pour in. And the truth that we're missing that second key, like you were saying, it's that sales process without it, you know, that's what actually converts people that are, you know, interested into your service, into actually getting the result, right? And if sales is something that is scary to you or that you don't like or you're not very good at, you simply haven't been doing it right or you haven't been doing it in a way that makes sense for you. And so what I would suggest, you know, and this is kind of a blanket statement, but for probably 90% of the people listening to this, base your sales conversation around a phone call, so a strategic consultation. And then in that phone call, the only thing you have to do is find out what is their goal, what are they working towards, and why haven't they gotten that goal, and then present your services as the way to for them to go from where they're at to what they want. Like it's really that simple.
It's so simple.
And when you take that approach, it's really, really value-centered. So this is what I love about that approach is, let's say I get on the phone with somebody and we have a good conversation. It turns out it's not a good fit, right? Well, they still walk away with a ton of value because I showed them the pathway to getting what they want. And I also, at the same time, get to avoid a client that's not a good fit. So it's like, it's always a win-win whether or not you make the sale. But if you're getting on the phone with the right people, that method is going to close the deal 9 times out of 10. Like, you're going to get it more often than you're going to lose it.
Right, right. And, you know, like, the more practice you get, really. And so often, you know, as the saying goes, sometimes it's not the people you know, it's the people that they know. So even if you're not a good fit for the person that you think might be your next client, they'll have you top of mind and know a bit more about you and the way you want to work, that who knows what kind of seed you might be planting for the future.
Oh, for sure. And yeah. If you want to, you know, you reminded me, another way I think about this is, you know, we talk about job security, right? Well, job security as an entrepreneur, it's not the same as like, you know, an employee. Job security as an,
sorry.
Yeah, that hit my funny bone. I can't even get through my sentence now. job security as an entrepreneur is a mixture of retention and consistently bringing on new clients. You know, I think one of the myths that we buy into a lot is, if I just get like a couple clients, they're going to be my clients for like the next 20 years. Like, I'm going to keep them forever. And like, that is so rare. You know, it's rare that you keep someone for like multiple years, right? Like lots of people, you go one project or one round and then they move on or it's just not a good fit anymore. Right. So you've got to understand attrition happens, people leave. And if you don't have that second muscle developed of like, how do I get clients on demand or how do I get clients when I need them? You're going to constantly be in that feast or famine cycle where it's just, you know, you've got clients and it feels really nice. And then the next month, who knows, you know? So it's really, job security is really half of that equation is sales.
So true. It's so true. And so with, I know some of the other services that you've worked with within this 90 days, is that still involved? Like, you know, the packaging of your services, because I think, I don't know about anyone else out there, but sometimes for me, I get very forest for the trees sometimes and just don't step back and go, you know, keep it simple, put it together, think about what clients are asking for and find a way to monetize that.
Yeah. And I think that goes back to what we were saying earlier about, we're not very good a lot of times connecting what we do to an ultimate result or to getting something, you know, and this really goes into not just packaging, but pricing. Like if you want to charge, you know, I really teach and help people package their services, and every PR pro member should be able to be charging at least $3,000 for a package, you know, probably higher than that. But it's hard to get to like a premium package level, like say you're charging $3,000, $5,000, $10,000 to a client for one thing. If you are selling public relations or you're selling the service, you know, like, because I look at that and be like, okay, what are you going to do? You're going to like write a press release and pitch it, or you're going to like do some social media. Well, I've got a niece that just graduated in English. She can do that. You know, like they don't get it.
Right.
And so they look at what you're saying you're going to do, and they're going to be only willing to pay like 10 bucks an hour for that. Versus if you say, hey, no, we're going to get you on the cover of these magazines, or we're going to get you this type of exposure, you know, what does that exposure mean to you? It means this many clients, or it means this to your bottom line or to your brand recognition. You know, you start taking that extra step and connecting it to what it is they're wanting. Mm-hmm. Now, suddenly that's not a $10 per hour activity. That's a $10,000 project. And by the way, when you know, it's time to make cuts, who are they going to cut? The $10 per hour person writing for them, or the $10,000 person who's bringing clients in the door? Like, they're probably going to cut that $10 per hour person, not you.
Right. And it really aligns with, you know, what's been emerging and is really almost at the forefront these days. But, you know, a hat tip to Solo PR Pro. I sometimes think, you know, sometimes we're a little bit ahead of the curve because we have to be. With more use of data in what we do, we, you know, always want to begin with the end result anyway, with any project we work on. So what you're offering aligns just so well with that.
Yeah, you know, it's really not, this is something that's really surprising to a lot of people, is it's really not about like drastically shifting, you know, so let's say you want to go from charging these low level rates to something more premium or bigger, right? Like, it's really not about drastically changing your services. It's really about how you frame your services mm-hmm. in your marketing and in your sales. Mm-hmm. Like, that's really what it's all about.
And for many, it's a mind shift. So go ahead.
Yeah. I love what you said, though, about really tying what you do, because I agree. And I've seen this for years where people tend to be task oriented, right? So we list services as task, but what we really miss in that is something that is a bigger conversation in public relations. It's not focusing on outputs, but it's focusing on outcomes. Mm. And we need to do that in not only how we frame value for clients to bring them in to close the deal, but throughout the engagement. So I see people constantly saying, oh, you know, how do I measure success? Well, what was the goal?
Right.
What was the client trying to achieve? And we still have this issue in public relations that has lingered, where people really don't have mastery of how to tie what they do to the bottom line. Because let's face it, for every company, I don't care what they're trying to do, it's still going to tie to the bottom line. If you're not making the money, it's really not going to matter to them.
Right. Right. That's so true.
And I love what you're saying, because really it does help with your retention too. Like, if you start the relationship with your client where it's like, you know, in your marketing and your sales, it's like, what is it I do for you? I help you get X result, right? Like, whatever it is. And you're right. In B2B, in the B2B world, like, we might label it different things, but it's the bottom line. It's going to come back to money and clients. And so, you know, I help you make money, you know, then as you move forward, it's really easy to come back in your like monthly or quarterly or whenever it is time to have your retention conversation. Like, how do I re-enroll this person, or how do I keep them engaged as a client? Well, the conversation's really just like that sales conversation. It's like, this was the goal. This is the plan we had and what we did. These are the results we got. Is this still the goal? And here's the plan moving forward. And do you want to keep going? And it just makes retention a lot. And notice what we're doing here. I think in sales, lots of times we feel really like sleazy and slimy because we're trying to sell ourselves. Look how cool I am. Look at my credentials. Look, I'm certified. Look at this. And that feels really, you know, honestly uncomfortable. But when you make it about the result and the plan to get the result, suddenly it's very empowering. Because if they don't like the plan, or if it's not working for them, that's not you, right? Like, you're not the person that, you know, they're not hating on you. They're hating on the results, right? So you can take, when there's a setback, you can take that in stride.
I love that. And, you know, you're right. As small business owners, people tend to connect the business to who they are. Mm-hmm. So they very deeply personalize it. But this whole process, you know, I like to say it really is just business. You know, I don't take any of it personal. And so how do you help solo PR pros kind of overcome that and really learn to view it through the lens of the business and not as a personal attack or a personal offense when things don't quite go their way?
So, you know, I think that's a double-edged sword, or like there's two answers to that question. The first is really basing your service around that ultimate result, like just finding out what that is and really like just starting to base your business around it. And then the other side of that is lots of times we get really upset about, you know, I'll hear people be like, oh man, this one lead or this one client, and they'll go into the story about that one person and they'll be like, Craig, what do you think? And I'll say, well, I think that if you're talking about one lead, you don't have enough leads coming in. Like, so part of it is that we get really fixated. Look, when you're not making sales and you're not getting leads in and a client, something goes wrong with them, that is detrimental. You know what I mean? Like, it's a big deal. But if you know exactly what it takes to get 10 leads in a week and you can make a sale a week, or you can make two sales a week, or you can amp it up and like really go big, suddenly those little things aren't as big of a deal. Like, it's not world enders. So you can get a little bit more perspective on it, and things don't feel as like, you know, important is the wrong word, because we always want to treat our clients important, you know, as they're important, but it's not like life ending, you know?
True. And so with the PR pros that you've been working with, when things do blow up, do you provide follow-up services as far as, okay, I've got, you know, this great fire hose is open, now what? How do you help them? Do you help them scale, or do you offer them any advice in that direction?
Really, really interesting. So yeah, there's a couple answers there. So first off, my goal is when you come in, remember I said we're building a package that can build up into $1 million business. So hopefully the package that we create with you is something that once you get going and things start blowing up, like let's say you start, you know, getting into those multiple six figures, it actually feels really good, because you, you're not like, oh my goodness, now I've got a bunch of work to do. You know, it's actually structured in a way where you feel like this is sustainable and I can grow it as big as I want it to go. The other part of that is, you know, this happens, you start getting into it and you got to keep making little shifts, keep making little adjustments, right? So I've got clients that have gone through my 90-day program like three times, four times, just because like they'll go through it. It gives you a framework, or it gives you accountability too, so that you can really perform. But then they're like, hey, you know, I reached this level of success and now I need to like hire somebody, or now I need to, you know, I found out that this part of it's not working. I need to adjust it. And I want to go through again and get your opinion on it, and then just sell. And so lots of times I'll go through again.
Excellent. Well, that's
great. I also want to touch on something a little bit exciting. You also have these organic social media programs that help people to land clients using social. And I know social's not new, but we're always learning so much more about what we can do and how we can leverage it. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, for sure. And it's all, you know, so this is, if we had this conversation a year ago and we started talking about marketing, I would have been like, well, I teach like, you know, 20 different ways to market. And the truth is, you know, you can choose whatever marketing you want to choose, and any marketing you've heard of, we've probably heard of it because it works, right? So the truth of the matter is, like, if you want to really grow your business, it's not about which marketing you choose. It's about focusing in on like one or two marketing tactics and really mastering those. So over the course of the past couple of years, though, I've really focused into LinkedIn and Facebook, and I don't really even teach anything else anymore. It's just, you come in my 90-day program and we're going to use Facebook and LinkedIn to land clients. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One is that it's really controllable. That's what I love most about social media is, you know, you can really, and what I mean by that is, if you have a ton of clients, you don't have to hit it very hard, right? You can still like get a good pace or a good flow of clients coming into your business with not a ton of effort. And if you're just starting out, or like maybe you just like you're in the middle of that famine cycle and you need clients quickly, you can hit it really hard and get a lot of clients very quickly. The other thing about it is it's really effective. So, you know, I'll talk a little, maybe a little bit about how it works, but the truth is you got to find marketing tactics that actually bring in clients for you, right? Like, there's nothing against doing activities that are branding specific, like getting exposure. But I actually saw someone post on Facebook the other day, if I see one more client ask, you know, say something like, well, we can't pay very much, but we think it'll be good exposure for you, I'm going to explode, right? Like, like I
yeah,
can't
seriously. Do that anymore. I had a prospect tell me outright, we're cheap. I'm like, okay, bye.
Yeah, see ya. You know, well, so this is a really good point. You know, like you can say goodbye to those people True. When you've got that control and you know that you've got five more leads coming in the door. You know, and you don't have to wait around and see how these people, you know, what pennies they offer you, right? Like you can actually go out and find the good people. And then the last one is that this is, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say that you said something that's so important. And I know that we've said this to our own clients. It's picking a lane and mastering it. And so, you know, it's, I'm not going to pretend that's easy for everyone, because as PR people, especially, we are experimenters. We're tinkerers. We like to test stuff, break stuff, because that's how we learn and experiment for tools that we can use with clients. And so how do you help people to find those lanes that they should really focus in and sort of, because it really does kind of require ignoring other things.
Yeah. And I think, you know, sometimes I'll say this is niching down your services, just like you'd niche down an audience, which both of those things people resist a lot. And, you know, maybe it'll help to talk about, there's a common phrase, everybody's heard it. And that's, you know, follow your passion and the money will follow. And that's not, you know, that's actually not 100% true. Like the truth is right. You need to follow your passion within a profitable, you know, area. And that's where the magic really happens, right? Like if your passion is to go, you know, sit in a cave, I don't know why that would be your passion, but that's your passion. Go sit in a cave.
Well, it is Monday.
It is Monday, right? Well, that's not going to pay the bills, right? That's going to be fun. It's not going to pay the bills. But if, you know, your passion is sit in a cave and you marry that with like, you know, being a tour guide, right? Or something like that, then suddenly following a passion within that realm is going to start making you money. So that's number one, is understanding that you've got this passion to create, to be expressive, to experiment, to do different things. That's all wonderful. But guess what? It can be fulfilled and you can experiment or experience that within the bounds of like niching down to one audience and niching down to a very limited number of services. And here's the other half of that. All right. So one, I'm saying it's possible to have both worlds, right? You just have to try and do it. But then the other side of that coin is if you build up a $500,000 business and you get a couple of, you know, maybe a VA or a couple employees or people to help you with your service delivery and people to help you with your sales, you can be as creative as you want, because guess what? The business will keep moving forward and you are liberated to kind of follow more passion projects, and it's not going to hurt your business.
I love that. Mm. And that should honestly, all of us as business owners, regardless if it's public relations or whatever you do, I would hope that the goal is to have the freedom to craft the life that you want to have. And that's going to look different for everyone. But I mean, to me, that's part of the joy of being a business owner, is really getting to chart your own course.
Exactly. Exactly. That is one of the key reasons, you know, to go it on your own, is to have that freedom too. And the freedom to really, you know, make sure that your tools are sharpened as well, because, you know, having such a client pipeline would really make sure that you are truly at the top of your game, which would, you know, build upon that success.
I agree.
And with that, I got to say, this is me from my own personal experience, but also seeing my clients do it. Once you know, I always joke that my super secret goal for everyone coming into my world is that they develop their client on demand muscle. Cause like everyone comes in cause they want to make like, you know, oh, I'm going to make like $100,000 in 90 days. Yeah, of course I want to sign up for that. Right. But, the super secret for me is that it's not just about making the money now. It's about giving you something that you can continue to make money, into the future. And once you develop that muscle, it's just such a huge, like this burden you didn't even know you're carrying on your shoulders is just gone. Because now you're no longer worried about, hey, you know, 6 months from now, am I going to have money? You know, a year from now, am I still going to be in business? Because now you understand exactly what it takes and you know that you can do it. So that's, you know, just the relief you get is well worth it.
I believe that's something that everyone in our audience can completely relate to. And I, you know, we also have a lot of people that work in traditional jobs, and this information is the same for an organization. I mean, can you imagine being an organization that only did marketing when you need work? Right. That's stressful and crazy. That would be insane.
Yeah. And look at the way, look at the way that they are structured too. Like this was always interesting to me because like, so I went solo not long after. So I worked for the Walt Disney Company doing PR for Disneyland. And I went solo not long after that. And I was like, I couldn't figure it out for the longest time. And I was like, how did Disney do this? And what I realized was Disney is doing all the same things we just talked about. It's just that they've got teams of people doing it. And each team is like, kind of like in their own little silo. So you just don't see, you know, the PR team is not seeing the marketing team, who's not seeing the sales team. You know what I mean? Which, I mean, maybe the VPs are seeing everything come together, but the peons in the cogs aren't seeing it. I wasn't seeing it. So it's like, look around if you're working for a company, look around and see how they do it, because you'll see that these principles, every successful business, every successful one, found something that was profitable, something that made them money, and then they just sold the crap out of it, right? And they just got really good at doing that.
And you know, here's a key takeaway too for those that, you know, work for corporations. It doesn't matter what your job is. Knowing this and understanding how to sell your value, everyone benefits from that. I mean, this is how you take control of your career. This is how you continue to progress in whatever direction you choose to progress. This is how you continue to market yourself internally to your own company by being able to tie what you do to value and moving yourself heads and shoulders above task and check boxes.
Yeah. Right.
Would you agree with that, Craig?
Oh yeah. Talk about becoming valuable to your employer, right? Like if you start, your output starts being more focused on the business goals and what they're trying to accomplish. Yeah. I mean, talk about becoming invaluable. That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So it's really inspiring on so many levels. We're so grateful for you spending your Monday morning with us and sharing this information. And I think, Karen, we have something else in the pipeline. Is that correct?
We do. We're so excited that, you know, Craig, you are always so generous with teaching and sharing your knowledge. And so we are doing a webinar with Craig in October, and we'll have the registration links up for you on soloprpro.com. And so please look for that. And Craig, if people want to connect with you, please tell them how to find you.
So probably the best place to find me is go on Facebook and search for me, Craig Severinsen, Severinsen. I've got a Facebook group called Growth Strategies for Marketing Entrepreneurs. Always drop in information there. You can even friend me because I'm always doing live videos, you know, dropping information. If Facebook's not the place that you like to be, LinkedIn is the second place. That I'm not there as active, but I am there as well. So those are two good places to find me.
Wonderful. Well, this has been, it's cliche, but it has been a wealth of information. And I don't know about you, Karen, but every time I talk to Craig, either on the phone or hearing one of his webinars, I just get inspired. So I'm now excited about my day. So thank you. And we hope our listeners
know. I know. Thank you, Craig. You are always fantastic. And because you are, you know, an old PR soul, we love that. We know that you understand our world very much. And you always, Michelle hit the nail on the head with you today, because wealth is what you teach. And it's not just wealth financially. It's really, a wealth of joy and enjoyment that gets reinfused into your business when you are able to control it and not in this constant struggle to survive.
Totally.
So true. So true. Well, thank you, Craig. And thank you for listening to another episode of That Solo Life. We will have all of Craig's details in our show notes. Please make sure you subscribe and share the good news about this fun little podcast that we have that will inspire others to, make their best way out into the world, whether that's personally or professionally. We hope that is what this is doing for you. Thank you for listening.